Chapter 35. Inquisitor, forgive the intrusion. It is a half mark past the ninth bell, and you have not come down. Are you well? Josephine quietly makes her way up the flight of stairs, eyes falling to the Inquisitor's small form lying down, for once, on the bed.
Hello, Josephine, the Inquisitor half whispers. I'm afraid I won't be able to do anything today, possibly ever again. I cannot move.
Josephine's eyes widen in surprise and concern, ready to go call for a healer.
There are little kittens sleeping on me, you see, the Inquisitor continues. If I move, I will wake them up. I'm not waking them up.
Josephine lets out a sigh of relief, then pauses. Kittens?
Yes, the Inquisitor replies. Kittens.
Josephine leans over the Inquisitor, eyebrows steadily climbing as she counts 5, 6 kittens, one sleeping on the Inquisitor's stomach, tucked underneath her palm, one tucked inside the curve of her elbow, another in the dip between her shins, 2 right next to her neck, and another half on her chest, half under her arm.
So will you please cancel everything I have for today, and apologize to Vivian because I can't go to my dance lesson, and Haren because it looks like I won't be studying that book on mushrooms after all.
Llewellyn blinks up at Josephine, entirely straight-faced.
Because of kittens,
Josephine replies, lip twitching upwards. This is possibly going to be one of the oddest things she's ever going to have to explain away. She supposes that she should be used to explaining odd things by now.
Of course, Inquisitor, Josephine smiles. When they wake up, do tell me.
Of course, Llewellyn says, smiling back.
You're the best, Josephine.
Your wish is my command, Your Worship, Josephine says, already wondering how to explain this to everyone relevant. It'll be a hard sell, but she'll manage it.
Somehow. Cullen and Leliana would most likely help. They're both soft for the Herald. Or at least, Leliana is. Cullen is just wrapped around the Herald's thin fingers like the rest of Skyhold. Josephine isn't sure if that's pure charisma and talent, or some sort of magical gift. Either way, it is a thing of beauty to behold, and makes her work so much easier. On her way down, she comes across Dorian holding a tray of food. His lip twitches upwards.
Cole informed me that our dear Inquisitor has taken to bed. A case of kittens, he says. Won't be up the rest of the day. Perfect opportunity for breakfast in bed and enforced studying, won't you say?
Josephine's eyes flick towards the books tucked underneath his arm and shakes her head, laughing under her breath as he gives her a theatrical half-bow, food balanced on his fingers like a performer and gliding up the stairs like a dancer.
Llewellyn, my dear, we've got studying to do. Aren't you excited?
He softly calls out. Josephine hears Llewellyn's groan whine just before the door closes behind her.
Sometimes I...
She fidgets, pauses.
Do you ever miss anyone from the Kune?
Bull pauses, mug halfway to his mouth. Some people. Memories of them.
I miss my clan, Llewellyn mumbles. They're dead, and missing them doesn't do anything. It's not very productive, and they wouldn't want me to be sad. The Keeper wanted me to be happy. She wanted me safe, so I shouldn't miss her. But I do. And I miss...
She cuts herself off, shaking her head as she lays her head down on the table.
It doesn't matter who I miss. I just miss them.
I think that's normal, boss,
Bull says, gently resting his hand on her back. He can feel her narrow bones shifting under his palm. His one hand covers the breadth of her shoulders.
We all miss people.
Sometimes he thinks of his Tamasran. Sometimes he thinks of the others he trained with, grew up with. But he doesn't miss them in the way that she misses her clan. He misses them differently. He isn't young anymore. He made better relationships. It gets easier with time. He feels things differently,
Something in his brain got wired up different from hers, from the rest of Thetis. It helps to talk about it, I hear, Bull says.
I thought hitting things with his stick helps.
Getting hit with a stick, Bull corrects. But that's fear. This is sadness. Different tactics for different monsters. She picks at the wood with a small finger for a moment. Bull's hand rests on her back, and he drinks with the other. Waits. She tucks in close to his side. Small little Cerebas, curled up, folded like ribbon and paper and steel. Layers.
His name was Mahanan, she whispers. And I loved him. He was my Lethalon.
Her eyes close.
Part of me. Brother without blood. Mafalon. He was going to be sent to the Conclave, but I wanted to go, and he always let me have my way. So he talked to the Keeper for me. They all said I was too young, too inexperienced, but Mahanan was always so good with his words. You would have liked Mahanan. Everyone loved Mahanan. If I didn't speak to him, he would have lived. He would have lived. He wouldn't have let the clan die. He wouldn't have let Haven fall. He would have this all fixed.
She shivers.
And now he's dead, and there's no one to plant his tree.
She breathes, a deep, shuddering sigh.
Because I killed them all. I killed them. Mafalon.
Bull brushes the hair from her face. You didn't kill them, he says. You did what you could. And you're right. If this Mahanan could hear what you're saying, he wouldn't be happy. Your clan wouldn't be happy if they could hear what you're saying right now. They'd want you to remember the best of them, I mean. Who wants to be remembered in a shitty way? Probably aren't happy that their memory makes you cry, either. Tell me more about Mahanan and your keeper. Tell me about the shit you got up to when you were a kid. You never did tell me about that thing with the fox.
Llewellyn is quiet for a long moment.
I didn't?
Nope. Promised you would, but got sidetracked talking about Dalish's bow, Bull says.
Llewellyn sits up a little, blinking wetness away from her eyes as she clears her throat. She raises her hands, ready to tell Sign her story.
Well, the clan was...
She begins, and Bull listens, and he watches. She tells all.
You're crying. Why are you crying? You can't be crying. I'm terrible with crying. I'm going to start crying too. Then what would we do? The only two good-looking people in Skyhold, in tears and unable to speak, rendered useless. The Inquisition would collapse underneath us.
I thought, Cullen and Krem could stand in for us.
Llewellyn hiccups, wiping at her face with her sleeve as Dorian hovers next to her, fingers twitching.
Yes, in a pinch, but then they'd open their mouths and ruin the illusion. Can you imagine? Krem would open his mouth and punches would start flying. Cullen opens his mouth and suddenly people are throwing their small clothes at him while he makes a fighting retreat for his Tower of Solitude.
Llewellyn snorts a laugh, though it sounds a little pained.
Oh, Dorian sighs, opening his arms. Come here, daft girl. What's wrong?
I don't know,
she sobs, fingers curling into his robes.
I'm just in a crying mood. People just get into crying moods sometimes, don't they?
I don't,
Dorian rubs her back, swaying them back and forth a little.
Because you're perfect,
Llewellyn whines, tucking her face into his chest.
And you smell nice. The middle of the mountains and somehow you smell nice. That's ridiculous, Dorian. You smell like sunlight. I want to smell like sunlight, too.
Then you can borrow my soap and take a bath like a civilized person, instead of wading into streams and ponds and waterfalls. Now, what brought on this crying mood? One has to start somewhere. Law of adequate reason and whatnot.
I don't know. I was rereading Hard in Hightown, and I got to the part where they introduced the Night Captain, and then I got sad because that's supposed to be Cullen, Dorian. And then I thought about how much I didn't like the Night Captain at first, but I know him now, and he's my friend. And then I got sad because I might have never met him. And what if he stayed in Kirkwall, and Kirkwall makes him unhappy? And what if I never met you? You never say anything happy about when you lived in Tevinter. And then I thought about how when this is over, you'll go back to Tevinter, and I might never see you again. And what if Cullen wants to go back to the Templars? Lyrium does such terrible things, and he's so sad, and I don't want my friends to be sad. And then I remember that he gets stabbed in the book, and I don't want anyone to get stabbed. And then I dropped the book and hurt my foot, and I started crying, and now I can't stop.
Well, first of all, Cullen is not going back to the Templars, and you know that. He's surrendered his title, stopped with this whole ingesting lyrium nonsense these Southerners have come up with, and is dedicated to the Inquisition. Also, if he left, I'm certain that he'd write to you, or send missives to you. He's terrible at keeping in contact. Have you read the letters his sister has sent him? I expect to find her at Skyhold's doorstep any day now, with an army of children yelling up at him. It would be marvelous for morale, truly. To make sure you're taking care of yourself like a proper person who takes baths in tubs. Dorian pauses when Llewellyn smacks his shoulder with her hand. Moving on. Did you honestly think you'd be so easily rid of me? I should think not. I don't let just anyone cry on my good silk, you know. You'll be getting letters from me in droves. You'll need a whole new aviary to house the birds I'm going to send you. And the South has such rustic charm. I might have to visit once in a while. Make sure that you're still around and not doing foolish things like jumping off of towers. It was the fastest way down. And baiting bears. That wasn't me. And of course, to make sure you haven't driven anyone insane. If you do, I want to watch. It is such a lovely show. Llewellyn snorts. As for the foot, well, I can't do anything about that. You got hurt worse and haven't cried about it. I suppose we just have a nice sit and gossip about our favorite people, and you can tell me all about what the commander said to you while he was studying the chessboard. I'm not giving away Cullen's chess strategy, Llewellyn says, peering up at him with red-rimmed eyes. Also, I'm sorry I cried on your favorite silk. It's an expensive dye imported from Antiva. Dorian grins, moving back a little to wipe her eyes with frost-chilled fingers. That's my girl. At least something sticks in that head of yours. Glad to know it's my wardrobe. It is impressionable, isn't it?
No, I do not want to, Solas. You can tell him to stop. Tell him to stop!
Cole ducks behind Solas's chair as the elf watches the scene in amusement.
Cole, it's a trim. It's not going to kill you.
Dorian sighs, tapping the scissors against the desk.
You have hair in your face, and you could use a little cleaning up.
Don't be silly now. I often find myself wondering how you can see anything at all with all that over your eyes.
I can see lots of things, Cole protests.
You don't make Blackwall cut his hair.
Blackwall is a grown man, and I don't actually care what that bear looks like. I care about you,
Dorian says, and it's not proper the way you go around looking like that. Don't you want to look a little bit decent? Just a little? You have hair all over your face, Cole.
You have hair on your face.
Dorian looks affronted, hand splaying across his chest.
This is different. This is a finely cultivated and tended mustache. It is part of my natural glory.
No one ever made Solas cut his hair, and it was part of his natural glory, Cole mutters.
Cole?
Solas's quill scratches across the page as Dorian's eyebrows rise up.
You had what?
There's a soft, high-pitched gasp, and the sound of papers fluttering down. The three of them look up to see the Inquisitor standing in the entryway to the rotunda, papers scattered on the floor as she clasps her hands to her face,
eyes bright with delight.
Harren, you had hair?
Solas pinches the bridge of his nose. It was another life, another time. No, I am not going to talk about it, Dalen.
Cole flickers over to try and hide behind Llewellyn, hunching down behind her, hands protectively curled around the brim of his hat.
You don't make her cut her hair, and you love her, he accuses.
Llewellyn drops the papers she had just picked up again, hands flying to her hair.
That's different, and, well, to be honest, she could use a trim, too, Dorian says.
No one is cutting my hair, she exclaims, clutching at her head. If you cut my hair, how will I ever get bonded?
Dorian's eyebrows rise at the same time Solas's does.
What?
Dalish bonding ritual, she says. You can ask Dalish, the elf with the bow, not Dalish the people, about it. A woman with cut hair can't get bonded.
That is so untrue, Dorian snorts.
How would you know? You've never known any Dalish other than me.
Solas's face is a mix of amused and pained.
And Solas wouldn't know. It's a lady thing. A Dalish lady thing. Of which he is neither,
Llewellyn declares, hands on her hips.
So no one touches my hair unless they want to take full responsibility.
Dorian rolls his eyes. You don't even like your hair.
There's a difference between me not understanding why Shems are so obsessed with their hair looking a certain way and me not wanting people to hack it off.
I wouldn't hack it off. Give me some credit, Dorian huffs. Pauses. Cole?
Llewellyn turns around to find empty space, the spirit having taken his escape while she and Dorian were bickering. Dorian runs off in search of the boy.
You are getting a trim, even if it kills me.
Dalish bonding ritual? Solas raises an eyebrow. Llewellyn huffs, gathering the papers once more, now that her hair is out of danger.
It's not like anyone would know when I'm making it up. Dalish would go along with it, and I didn't see you correcting him.
Solas shakes his head, laughter playing at the corners of his eyes. The next thing you know, you'll be convincing them that it's part of your culture to carry small animals in your pockets.
For all they know, it is, Llewellyn huffs, and my hands were occupied. How else was I supposed to carry the kittens?